You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app.
All right, welcome in. We are live. It is Minor Talk presented by Jack in the Box. I'm Adrian Broaddus. We are back in studio. I feel much better. I don't sound disgusting like I did for the Battle of I-10. And the Miners, despite, you know, some tough points in this game, some frustrating moments, and, you know, even a lot of lead changes. In fact, 11 lead changes in this one. 12 times this game was tied. Miners end up breaking off in the end, and they defeat Florida International in a dominant fashion. 77-63, 14-point win in the end. And, you know, you could talk about how this game was in the balance at one point, and there are a lot of, you know, I guess like MVPs, so to speak. Kevin Kalu, he was all over, running the floor, left and right, up and down the floor, and he was as active as you could ask for offensively for some of those alley-oop dunks that he finished. But, you know, the guys who were lobbing it to him, it was guys like David Terrell Jr. who finished out this one with 12 points. It was guys like Devin Barnes who finished this one out with 13. He had 6 assists. Terrell had 7. By the way, the David Terrell stat line, it was just great, you know, throughout this one. 12 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, only 1 turnover, Sal, in 2 steals in 36 minutes of action. So we are opening today by saying a big win for UTEP, 77-63 in the end when this one was kind of close at some points. So they distanced themselves when this one mattered. And for guys like Terrell, another great game. Kalu, solid one. Barnes, you know, he held his own. And Otis Frazier III gets over 1,000. Double-double, 12-12 tonight.
Yeah, it was a game where collectively in various spots, guys pitched in and they did what they needed to do to get the win. The score is not really indicative of how the game went, but that's a good thing. If you want to, you know, be one of the top teams in Conference USA, you got to be able to put the game away when it matters the most. Just so happens that they played better in about 5 minutes or 6 minutes than they did in the other side of like that 35 minutes where it was neck and neck. So, no, shout out to UTEP. They did what they needed to do when it mattered most.
Alberto, I'll ask you, do you feel like we're seeing the best David Terrell Jr. right now? I just think the run he's been on, remember, he didn't wow anybody in the New Mexico State game. He really didn't. But the step back, sidestep, three-pointer ended up sealing the deal when it was all said and done. So he was one of the de facto heroes in that game. And then you talk about tonight, another solid performance by David Terrell Jr. Feel like I'm the captain of the David Terrell Jr. fan club, but still, I just have really enjoyed watching his growth from freshman of the year last year to what he's become now. And he's had some tough moments. He's had some sophomore struggles, but the good has outweighed the bad.
Yeah, and it's the ability to bounce back from those struggles, right? And also, while doing all of that, kind of leading this team, right? He's, to me, the leader of this ball club when it's either him or Otis Frazier III, and I really like what he does. Even when he's not scoring, he'll go out, he'll get rebounds, he'll get assists. He had 11 rebounds against Middle Tennessee. He had eight assists against Western Kentucky, so he can do a little bit of it all. He can limit his turnovers, which is huge, especially late down the stretch. So what he's doing right now, it's huge for the Miners. Everyone needs to get out and go watch it.
Okay, I'll flip it over to you, George. It's Ahmad Bynum who rejoined the squad this time around. One game absence against New Mexico State. Ahmad Bynum comes off the bench, struggles to start the game, but you know, in the second half, I thought he eased into it. He finished it out with 6 points off the bench, hit a pair of three-pointers, and they're going to need him big against Liberty on Saturday. Tonight could be tonight. You know, you had your other players in double figures, but Bynum will need to be big against Liberty, just like they asked him to be big in the first game against the Flames.
Yeah, and that first game where he hit that game-winning shot against them, right?
Exactly.
Today, 2-for-6 from the field, but 2-for-4 from three, which is what we've seen. One of the best three-point shooters in the country. He's been that all season long. That hasn't stopped. I was just happy to see him get on the floor after whatever happened last week. And he seemed to be, I know Coach Golding talked a lot about headspace and being in the right mindset. He seemed to be right there, right? He seemed to be locked in. He was trying to make the right plays. Yeah, a little bit of a struggle from the field, but I mean, you expect that when you take a week, a sabbatical, I guess. But yeah, I thought his energy was there. And really, the whole team, I thought, played well and kind of fed off each other, especially down the stretch in that very fitting 10-33.
Yeah, I like the fact that it was the 10 minutes, 33 seconds when it was a timeout. That's been the mantra all offseason long. It was a timeout. Coincidentally enough, it hits that number right there. And the Miners need to close it out, and I think that fueled them a little bit in the final stretch. I like the Kalu stare down, Sal, for Golding, you know, coming back and stuff like that. He's playing with a lot of edge to him offensively. We already know the defense. The defense has been there. And the offense is something that it seems like he's trying. He has a chip on his shoulder, and he wants to prove to everybody, including the doubters like me, the people out there, maybe fans or not fans, of Kevin Kalu. At some points, and I include myself in the points of previously doubting Kalu, I didn't know if he could get to double-figure scoring and still be maybe one of the top players on the floor. And tonight, 14 points in 18 minutes. As efficient as it gets.
Yeah, and he was in the right spot more times than not. I think that's the biggest difference for him, is he's not out of position as much as he has been in the past. And also, too, he's not getting in foul trouble in spots. I mean, today, one of the best stats. I mean, you talk about 18 minutes, 14 points. He gets a steal, a block, a couple of rebounds, even some points from the charity stripe. My favorite is only one foul. And that's the guy who's supposed to be the biggest out there on the floor, at least when he's out there, right? If Hamilton's in, then it could be him. If they're both out there, I mean, we'll see what's going on. But no, for him, man, he's doing the right thing. And not only is he in the right spot, you know, and plays are happening for him, but he's making plays as well. He's being aggressive, and he's showcasing, you know, his size to get over to the cup. And that's what you want. If you can unlock someone down low, I mean, that's going to be huge for them. So just wanted to be consistent, but it's nice that you got to see it. And this is, what are we at this year? Three or four double-digit scoring games for Kalu?
I think it might be closer to four. We got to do the digging on that one, but that's a good stat to look at, too. I mean, he hadn't had a double-figure scoring effort against a D1 team prior to this year, so the fact that he's even getting to this point and being a routine double-digit scorer, I think that's a good thing for the squad moving forward. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number to get things started here on the program. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and on X, 600 ESPN El Paso, and using the hashtag Miner Talk. Also available 600ESPNElPaso.com, or chat with us free 600 ESPN El Paso app, where you can chat with us in real time, and we'll read your comments here live on Miner Talk. Let's go to the phones right now. We're going to get things started with Tom, 915-505-6009. Tom, good evening, man. What's going on?
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks. My wife and I went to the NMSU game, and, you know, and I called in when I was in the I-10 parking lot coming back from the game. And I said, this team, you know, has a few gears left. And I really do think that. I keep seeing it with this team. I don't think they've reached their potential yet. So basically, okay, folks, here we go. I'm going to buy 6 tickets for next game. Usually just my wife and I go. I'm going to buy 6 tickets. I'm going to buy 4 tickets, and I'm going to recruit 4 people to go to the game and just invite them so we can get this place filled up against Liberty. This team deserves it. We need to show up for these guys. You know, it was great to see these guys play some seriously good team basketball in the second half. You know, they had 22 assists. I haven't seen 22 assists out of a minor team since the Gillespie years, when they were putting up 22, 24, 28 assists a game. Maybe when they had a Stone at point guard and that team under Tony Barbie, but still, I mean, these guys are showing. David Terrell, man, what a game. I mean, he just was solid all the way through and just fed his teammates and hit the fast break. I mean, what can I say? But also, just real quick, I was sitting behind, I guess, Otis Frazier's parents.
Oh, nice.
And Frazier put on a great show. He had 12 rebounds. He had his 1,000-point thing tonight. Just great game, and I'm really happy for Hamilton. I hope these guys are listening. You guys are playing great basketball. Just keep doing what you're doing, and let's take out Liberty Saturday. That's all I got.
Good stuff, Tom. I'm looking forward to hearing about the 4 people that you recruit on Saturday, okay? So those 4 people better show up on Saturday for UTEP versus Liberty. You're doing some great work right there, Tom, by inviting people out to UTEP basketball game. I think that is definitely a solid thing there. So great great stuff, Tom. It's great to hear from you, and we always appreciate it here on the program. Let's keep it moving on the show. 915-505-6009. Next up is Leon. He's going to join us next here on Minor Talk. Also want to mention, Jack in the Box is the presenting sponsor here on Minor Talk. They're open 365 24/7 here in El Paso and Las Cruces. There's 15 locations here in the area. Perfect spot to go before and after every game. That is Jack in the Box here as we continue. Leon's next with us. Leon, good evening. What's going on, man?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. So just want to also say, since I guess it's Valentine's Day tomorrow, that appreciate you guys having the show. Want to show you some love, too,
thank
man,
you. Hey.
It's fun to,
I love it, man.
It's pretty fun to talk after the games, especially during a win. But one of the things I wanted to bring up was kind of what you were saying, Adrian, and that's the development this season of some of the bigger guys when they play well, especially Kalu and, you know, Hamilton as well as Jones. And I think you got to give some credit to, I guess his assistant's name is Mike Roberts, who they hired, you know, later on in the season when Cox left for another opportunity. But just the way these guys have come along and to see him get off the bench where Golding has to settle himself sometimes, I think it just brings another – I just want to say whatever he's doing to these guys when they play well and when they play like that deserves some props. So, hey, Coach, good job this season with whatever you're doing with the bigger guys. And go Miners, hopefully we fill the place up on Saturday, man, because it'll be a big win for them.
That's
anyways,
true. That's true. And Leon, you know, the interesting part about all of this, first off, the point about Mike Roberts, new associate coach for the Miners, they've really stepped up with the bigs. I mean, you see it. When the bigs were suffering or struggling a little bit in this game, like Kalu, they threw in Derek Hamilton, and he was unstoppable. My dad was there in attendance, and that was one of the first things that he pointed out with my mom, that, hey, Hamilton is feasting down low. He can get anything that he wants down low, and it's true. They really exposed that. And then Elijah Jones was also doing a nice job of being active in 6 minutes of action. He chipped in with 2 points, two rebounds, an assist as well. Very active in just 6 minutes off the bench. But and then at one point, they abandoned the tall guy. They abandoned the big. They go small, and Sal Montes, we saw a DeCannon Wick. We had a DeCannon yes. Wickware sighting in this game. 4 minutes for DeCannon. A foul, and that's it. But still, we haven't really seen DeCannon much at all of this season.
Yeah, it's very sparingly, and sarcasm aside, it's going to be, you know, maybe a D2 school, something like that, where he might pop up, and that's if he's healthy, too. So makes you wonder why, but maybe it was all part of the plan all along. I mean, we asked each other, like, who else is going to kind of crack the floor throughout the season? And, you know, here and there, you're going to see DeCannon Wickware. We've also seen more play really for Baylor Hebb as well.
Yes,
I mean, there's different guys, you know, down the roster that you can pick and point for various spots. But no, man, I mean, when he went out there, it was it wasn't too bad. It was pretty solid. Also, to another guy, Adrian, and when he was out there, Elijah Jones,
yes.
He was able to showcase. There was a rebound he got near the end of the first half, I believe, where that was like a big man rebound. He just snatched it out, and you know, from that point on, you could kind of see that aggression was going to be for everybody out there on the floor. So they're setting the tone, even though they're not going to be out there on the floor as much.
915-505-6009. Back to you, Sal. A good stat you found for Kevin Kalu.
Yeah, so we asked each other, like, hey, how many double-digit scoring games for Kalu? We were way off.
Way off.
We were half as much off, so to speak. So far, there's 8 games, with 7 of them being against Division I teams. And I'm going to throw you another stat, Adrian. Out of those 7 games where he scored double digits, how many wins do you think the Miners have?
I'm going to say 5.
Okay, let's see, Alberto.
I said 6.
Okay, and we got George.
Yeah, I'm going to go 6-1 here.
All right, and you know what? They're right, 6-1.
Wow.
That's exactly at the
that's a good stat.
The lone loss being against Middle Tennessee. And another fun one out there, 3 of those or 3 games where he hasn't reached double digits, he scored 9, and those were wins as well. So I was wrong, man. I said, does Kalu have to have his best game for this team to win? I was like, nah, he doesn't really have to do too much. No, man, they really need him. I mean, this guy is becoming a formidable, matchup for whoever's out there on the opposition. And that consistency that we've been asking for from this team looks like he may be one of the more consistent players.
I guess I have to do it, guys. I was wrong with Kalu. I'm going to give you a couple stats that I really like from Kalu right here. Offensive rating, it's the best in his career, bar none. He's never had a higher offensive rating per KenPom. 126.6. Last year, 94.9. Was non-existent offensively. The year before, 100.3. It's because he was asked to do a lot on a shorthanded bunch. Remember, that's the same squad where the Miners lost guys like Mario McKinney mid-season. And then his freshman season, I mean, that's a write-off, right? He's coming off the bench. He's still played 23 minutes, but I don't even count that. He had an offensive rating of 80.5.
And extremely raw at that point, too.
Extremely raw. But to go back to the stats this year, okay, some of the other ones that really jump out to me. 2-point attempts this year for Kevin Kalu, and this is the best in his career. 58 of 88. He's shooting 66% from 2-point attempts. So he's making 2 out of 3 buckets that he's bearing down low. And I know a lot of these are dunks and stuff like that, but some of these are like turnaround hook shots, and he hit one of those tonight that I really liked. Also, true shooting percentage, by the way, sticks at that same amount. 66% true shooting percentage, 66% effective field goal percentage. I mean, Kalu is doing a nice job. And then in conference play, this is conference only, okay? 35 of 53 from 2-point attempts. That is 4th best in Conference USA right now in his conference only stats. 10 games, and he's shooting 66% from the field on 2-point shots. So he's efficient. He's scoring, and this is probably the best Kalu that we've ever seen here for the Miners. And you know, I'll give him a little bit more credit, just knowing that about a month ago, he didn't play against Liberty. Tonight, he plays about 18, 19 minutes when it was all said and done. And tomorrow, or I should say Saturday, he'll have his first shot to play the Flames of Liberty this season, Sal.
Yeah, and it's a big one, man. Liberty's coming off of a win, a double-digit win against New Mexico State as well. They trailed by 5, outscored the Aggies by 15, and it really wasn't close in the second half. I mean, first half was nice. New Mexico State was rolling, but they got out to, I think, like a 12-1 second half start, that being Liberty, for the first 8 minutes or so. I'm probably like a minute off or so, but I mean, imagine that. 1 point in 7 to 8 minutes, that's ridiculous. Ridiculously hard to overcome, and the Aggies did that against Liberty. So Liberty, man, 8-4, one step above, a half game above the Miners when it comes to the conference standing. So it's a lot on the line on Saturday.
There really is. There's a lot on the line indeed. Hey, I'm looking forward to it. It's Liberty UTEP is on Saturday, but if you want to talk about this win tonight, 77-63, let's do it. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. Let's go to Twitter and X. This is coming in from King Eric. A tale of two halves is the story for this game. Miners can't afford to start the way that they started today against Liberty on Saturday. These games count a lot more than they did a month ago. Manny David, great win tonight. Small but loud crowd in the second half definitely helped with momentum. 3 more wins to hit 20. Hashtag Miner Talk. Alberto, you talked about this. Even though it was a small crowd, the final number was 4,089. It was a loud group in the second half.
Yeah, when those lobs start coming in from David Terrell and Kevin Kalu and Derek Hamilton, they start getting those big dunks in. Everyone gets excited. You see the kids throw up the too small sign, even though they, in fact, are too small themselves. So, yeah, I think the room, the 4,000 people there, the 4,000 and some change, they get loud enough to where it kind of starts to feel like the next level, right? Or you start kind of feeling like, oh, it's almost March. It's almost time. So, yeah, it's time for the Miners to get ready for conference play, which is really what this final stretch is to me, right? They can't drop a game against Liberty. They can't afford to, because it would take away from momentum leading into that CUSA conference tournament. So these, to me, these home games, leave those road games on the road. These home games coming up for the Miners are huge going into the conference tournament.
Yep, I'm with you there. Let's go back to Twitter and X. It's our pal, Tristan Pence, who checks in on the program. Solid defense by the Miners in the second half. And once again, David Terrell had a great game. Saturday's game against Liberty is huge. Miner fans need to show up. Hashtag the Kalu stare down. Hashtag Miner Talk. I like the hashtag of the Kalu stare down. The Kalu stare down, by the way, he stares down head coach Joe Golding, and Golding loved it. He said in the post game, hey, you know, we have a special relationship, him and I. I was getting after him, and then he comes back with that big dunk, and he stares him down. Like, that's the kind of, I guess, relationship that those two have. But a lot of respect between the two. Kalu stayed 4 years at UTEP. That's all the relationship needs to speak. I mean, the relationship speaks for itself. So don't see a lot of those four-year players at any school. Cesar Cubillos, this game, and Sam Houston beating Jack State show that no team should be overlooked. Good to see the Baylor Heb and Derek Hamilton scoring off the bench. I think our depth outlasted Florida International. Need a full student section Saturday. Going for win 18. Hashtag picks up. Coming from Ice Cubillos, our pal. Another tweet to get it to. This is from Andrew. Wow. Respect to Tom. Hashtag pack the Don about the four tickets right there. So good stuff there. Minetto's chiming in saying, I've been saying that all year to our bandwagon Miner fans. They don't listen. Pinky says that he's going to see us Saturday. Great win for the Miners. And hashtag Miner Talk. Good stuff, Pinky. I appreciate you. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification as you're listening to Miner Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Now 515-505-6009. Miner Talk continues, presented by Jack in the Box. Oh, I think I'm ready to say it, Sal. I think I'm ready to ask the question. Is this David Terrell's team?
Oh, my goodness.
He's playing out of his mind right now. And I just think that when things are going right and he's on the court, like, flying around and playing as emotional and spirited as he did tonight and as he did in the final minutes of that New Mexico State game. And like Alberto referenced earlier, it's not just these games. It's like the Western Kentucky road loss. It's also the Middle Tennessee road loss. Those games, you know, he's going after it. And he's just really trying his butt off right now. I just think that this guy is maybe the guy right now for the Miners.
Oh man, that's it's hard. Especially,
it's a bold question.
It's bold. I'll say this. I think for the future, this is David Terrell's team. And the reason I say that is Otis Frazier.
But is the future now? That's my question.
I mean, you still got Otis Frazier on the roster.
You're right. You're right.
And when it comes to that, I can't be fully on board, and it's not a knock on him. I just think, I mean, shoot, Otis Frazier is there. He's got to be able to contribute too, and he does. You got to see what he did today. Also, making history, 1,000 points as a Miner. So just to say it outright, I don't know. But, I mean, those guys, if they're listening, they could probably be laughing and be like, hey, this 5-minute stretch is mine. No, this 15-minute stretch is
mine.
That's
true.
Whatever the case is, it just happened to be Terrell coming up the biggest, I guess. Everybody came up big, but he came out the biggest when it came to production in the game. So, or just impact in the game, I should say. I don't know, man. I don't want to say it's completely nullified, but it has a lot of juice on it.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say this. For Terrell Jr. to play the way that he has right now, he's not a sophomore, Alberto. He's really stepping up, and he's really shining in ways that I thought he would this year. These are the expectations I had for him, but he still is living up to them right now and maybe exceeding them in certain spurts.
And I think that it's I mean, what we're seeing here is the city's obviously taking for granted, so I try to appreciate it as it's happening, but I try to think of what's next year going to be looking like for David Terrell when you look at him this year and where he's jumped from last year to this year. You only wonder what's gonna come next year, but you got to love what he's been able to do.
Yeah, I would say last thing for David Terrell Jr., the limiting turnovers tonight, that's a step in the right direction, right? You want to see him continue to limit those turnovers. That's exactly what they're going to need in the CUSA tournament. And the recipe for success when it comes to these guards is to get them playing in fast break situations like you saw tonight. David Terrell Jr. with confidence attacking the rim and really going after those layups. Like, he was fearless. He was getting hit. Like a really, really physical physical game, a really physical game. But, you know, I was really impressed with how he delivered that physicality right back. And I think he wore that emotion on his sleeve in the second half in a big way. So props to David Terrell Jr. I was impressed with his performance tonight in a really, really big way. So really, really appreciate and like watching him. I like what Alberto said, too. Don't take David Terrell Jr. and what he's doing right now for granted. George, I'm going to ask you kind of an off-the-cuff question. Where are you at with the depth right now? Whether it was, you know, the guards that are coming in right now, sometimes giving them solid minutes, other times maybe being liabilities on the floor. What are your thoughts on just the depth of this team right now? As we kind of see it at times being a little inconsistent, but at other times, like some of our listeners have suggested, maybe it helped UTEP outlast the Panthers when it was all said and done.
No, yeah, I think that it's still an asset at this point for UTEP. Let me go through some of these names. DeCannon Wickware, Trey Horton, KJ Thomas, and Elijah Jones. How many turnovers between the four do you think they
had? No, none. I'm going to say zero.
Yeah, they had one.
Oh, one. Okay.
Between, right, almost 20 minutes between the four. So we're averaging five, and that's what you want, right? You don't want them coming in here, bumbling the ball around. And of course, yeah, maybe they don't have enough time on the floor to kind of hurt the team, but Coach Golding is counting on that. And I do think that they made an impact. Obviously, Baylor Hebb did. He's 1-for-3 in this game. Elijah Jones, as always, comes in with a lot of energy. He only played 6 minutes today. UTEP, especially towards the end, maybe didn't really need him. He was 1-for-1. And then the rest of the guys come in and they give you enough, right? Trey Horton, 0-for-1. You obviously want to see him knock down that open three. But, yeah, no, the depth is definitely still an asset. I mean, when you can bring in DeCannon Wickware as a 12th guy in CUSA and in NCAA, and I think in NCAA college basketball in general, when you can go 12 guys deep and still win a game, I think that's pretty good there. So, no, I think it's an asset at this point.
I think so, too. I think ultimately, I think there's going to be struggles and there's going to be low points with this depth at times. But overall, and the overwhelming majority of these minutes, like you're saying, it's going to be positive. And it's not like liabilities are out there right now, at least. I mean, you know, in the first half, it didn't look great. And I'm not sugarcoating any of that. And I don't think they're straying away from that either. But when this game mattered, which it was in the 10-minute portion of the second half, UTEP started to blow them out. And they distanced themselves in a huge way. So credit to the Miners for what they were able to do to close this one out. And now on to Liberty for this squad. So there we go. 915-505-6009 as we start to wind things down here on the program. Expected more of a slower show tonight, knowing that tomorrow, or I should say Saturday. I keep saying tomorrow, but Saturday is the big one for the Miners against Liberty. Sal, for that one, just early predictions for this one right here, knowing that this is a squad right here. UTEP has beat three straight games. They have beat Liberty three straight times in this series right here. And coincidentally enough, none of those wins for the Miners ended up being at the Haskins Center. So to you, Alberto, they're coming to town tomorrow, Saturday. It's going to be a great one, Liberty UTEP, and it's at the Haskins Center.
Yeah, it should be a great one. Liberty just beat New Mexico State by 10 points, 64-54. So, yeah, it should be a great one. The Flames are going to come with everything, right? I mean, what you just listed, the buildup to this game with Liberty having been beat three times. Yeah, I know that they want to come in here and eat UTEP's lunch. So the way that UTEP defends itself, it's going to be crucial. And like one of the tweets said is, yeah, they're very right. UTEP, they can't come out flat-footed in this game. They need to come out strong, and they need to come out like those that second half. They look beautiful in that second half. They go on those runs. That's what they need to look like.
Yeah, I'm here with you on that. Sal, early thoughts on Liberty going into Saturday?
Yeah, this is a team who loves to shoot the 3-point ball. They got 22 out there tonight. Only six of them being made, so around 27% or so for them. But if it's there, they're gonna shoot it, man. And it was a slow night for Caden Matheny. 1-for-7. Also, to another guy, Zach Cleveland, only 3-for-10. 10 from the charity stripe, only two field goals for 7 points. So those two players that I mentioned, under 10 points, but just going across it, man, Talon Peter with 20 points for Liberty off of the bench. And when we look at what he did against UTEP, he also got 20 points off of the bench. So they have bench depth. They got scoring there with Peter. So they're going to have their hands full. It may be a high-scoring affair. And also, too, hate to say it, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but UTEP very fortunate that that layup that went up clean against UTEP did not go in when they were out in Lynchburg. So you got to tighten up on defense. And, you know, if you could do that, you have a really good chance of winning. But they remember what happened. They remember what happened last time.
Yeah, they definitely have. They definitely have some bitter feelings about UTEP. And it's also the fan bases, too, right? It's like,
for sure, people
all over Twitter and X and people on social media just kind of going at it from the two fan bases. So I like that. I like that there's some kind of bad blood between these two squads. And, hey, Alberto talked about not taking games for granted. There's technically only three more basketball games guaranteed between UTEP and Liberty. So in Conference USA, at least, that's how it's looking right now. 915-505-6009, that's our telephone number. If you've been trying to get in on the program, now's the time to do it, to give us a call, 915-505-6009. Back to the phones we go. It's Brian who's joining us next. Brian, good evening, man. What's happening? What'd you think of this game?
Well, it was certainly an interesting game, that's for sure. The substitutions, for sure, were definitely the most interesting part to me. Like bringing out Duchennan Wickwear, who we have not seen in such a long time. But hey, it seemed to work because after a sloppy, it wasn't too sloppy, but it was interesting because we were super close throughout most of the game until that streak came during the second half where we went on a scoring spree. But overall, it was a good morale boost for what's going to have come on Saturday because that's a tough game at home. But we'll see what happens with those Miners. If they continue to be on the roll, hopefully we'll have good things to come.
All right, man. We got you. We got you down. I appreciate it as always, Brian. Thank you for weighing in on the show. I'll say this about what Brian said. The different rotations is just the confidence that this team has within its bench and its depth. It kind of goes back to what George was saying a little bit here on the program as well. So appreciate the phone call there, Brian. Thanks for weighing in. 915-505-6009. It's all eyes and it's all the attention over to Liberty come Saturday. It's 7 o'clock tip-off for the Miners for that matchup right there. We'll have it for you, 6:30 countdown to tip-off, and then the tip-off itself at 7 for that matchup right there. Should be an excellent game. Trolley Dodger, I was there. We need more dunks. The crowd erupted on Kalu's dunks. Okay, good point there. Well, I like it, Trolley Dodger. It's good to hear from you. Let's go back to some other posts that are checking in here on the show. Actually, I think that pretty much does it for our Twitter and X group right there. We did get a message in on our 600 ESPN El Paso app, so I'll read that right there, and then we'll start to turn the page over to Liberty. This is from Ray Ray. It's about flow with this team. Once they show aggressiveness, confidence, and when they look like they're having fun, that's when they're a good flow and they have great runs. Good point. I mean, they were on like a 12-2 run here in the second half late in the game, and that's what really propelled them into the win for this matchup when it was all said and done. Guys, as we wind this one down, let's hand out some awards. And this one's going to be a hot hand award thanks to our great friends at Wind Supply El Paso. Hey, Wind Supply El Paso is your perfect spot to check out all the great dealers. Check out the Find a Dealer tab at Wind Supply El Paso. You can see the Champion dealers, the Master Cool dealers. Click on one of them, and then you can find certified Champion Elite dealers here in El Paso that can help you when it comes to cooling your home or heating up your home, and then also Master Cool dealers, same thing as well. Click the Find a Dealer tab at windsupplyelpaso.com. George, you know what? We're going to have to go hot hand for this one. It's got to be Kevin Kalu. 18 minutes, 14 points, 6 for 7 from the field, 2 rebounds. Like Sal mentioned, only 1 foul when it was all said and done, a block and a steal. It's time to continue to give Kevin Kalu his flowers.
Yeah, absolutely. He is quietly revealed himself as a huge X factor for this team. We talked about the UTEP Miners record when he's in double digits. It's 6-1. Sal, did you have the record for when he scored 9 points as well?
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was 3 wins. Let me double check here. I got it pulled up.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, 3 wins in those, and they're all in conference play as well.
So the Miners are 9-1. When Kevin Kalu scores 9 or more points, this guy, I mean, and he averages 7. So somehow every game the Miners need to get Kevin Kalu to 9 points. Yeah, he has become quite the X factor for this team, and it is time for his flowers.
Yeah, I think so too. Kevin Kalu, he is the hot hand of the game presented by Wind Supply El Paso. Sal, are you good with that one right there? Hot hand for him.
Yeah, no, I like it. Extremely productive. And I mean, hey, this is another one for him. I just want to say I really like what my team has been doing this year. So we'll get a scoring update on our fantasy teams on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm excited about that fantasy update here on the program. Maybe George should be the fantasy judge since he's the only one who doesn't have Iron in the fire. What do you think?
All right, let's do it.
I'll do it. I also am accepting bribes, so.
Nice. Okay. I need to give you a lot of bribes because my team is struggling, but we'll get into that on Saturday. I'm looking forward to that as well. 915-505-6009. Back to the phones we go. It's Milkman who joins us next. Good evening, Milkman. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? How y'all doing?
Doing great. Doing great, Milkman. UTEP gets a big win. It was a little close at some point, but ultimately the Miners got it done.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it was neck and neck there for a while. It's funny because I go with my dad, and we would look at each other, and we're like, they need to get some daylight between them and FIU. And, you know, it was just neck and neck. And then all of a sudden, they go on this run, and they're like, you know, 13 points ahead. And I'm going to bring up a blast from the past. But do you remember, God, years ago? It still haunts me to this day. Do you remember being up by 10 with a minute left and losing the game to the Aggies? I always think about that because it's kind of a good rule of thumb that, you know, if there are more points ahead than there's minutes left in the game, you're probably, you know, in good shape. And so when they were 13 up, I think it was, with like a minute left.
When was this? I'm trying to look at the
I've
game.
I've heard about it. Yeah, it was a while
back.
Oh,
my God. Anybody that watched that was there for that game, it haunts me to this day. It was unbelievable. The Aggies kept fouling, and the Miners couldn't hit a foul.
Are we talking Floyd era? Are we talking Floyd era or
no.
Even before?
It's before.
Oh, God. This was quite a while ago. I want to say.
Okay, I'll look it up. I'll find this one.
Let me ask my dad. He knows which one. It was at the Haskins Center too. Yeah.
I think it was. Yes. And it was because we were like, yeah, we got this game, and 10 points up with a minute left, and they lost. It was unbelievable. Wow. I only bring that up because, like I said, we were looking at each other like, oh, okay, I think they got this because they're about 13. With a minute left, but you know. Anyway, it was a great team effort tonight by the Miners. I was very happy to see it. Very happy to lead with a win. And you know, shout out to Tom for buying extra tickets for the game on Saturday. We got to get the fans out. I know we were all very disappointed when we filled up the Haskins Center and saw that, you know, annihilation by the Aggies. But you know what? The Miners went up and took one from them on their home court. So fans, get out there on Saturday. We got to support this team. We still have a very good team, and I think we all know this. And Conference USA is up for grabs. I mean, it could be anybody. And I wouldn't at all be surprised to see the Miners, you know, there at the end. So get out there on Saturday, guys. It was a great game tonight. And yes, definitely look that one up.
Milkman, there's no chance Haskins was the coach?
God, let me think. I feel like it was after the Haskins era.
Okay, then I'm looking at a Jason Rabideau 74-73 finish Thursday, January 6th of 2000 when the
that
Miners
could have very well been it. That could have been it.
Okay, well we'll see if some of our other listeners, because I'm looking at home really close home losses to the Aggies, and that's the one that pops up right there. 98-99, they lost in close matchups. They still had Haskins as the coach, by the way, at home in both those years against the Aggies, and they also had a pretty decent season when it was all said and done both of those years. But those are the ones that I find where the Miners played the Aggies at home, lost in a close game. from maybe the last, like, I don't know, 30 years or so. That's from all the numbers that I'm looking at right now.
I'll be honest. I don't really remember seeing a comeback like that anywhere else. That was 10 points in a minute.
Wow.
It's really something.
Yeah, that's terrible right there. Milkman, it's always great to hear you, man. Saturday's going to be a big one, so we'll see you there.
Definitely. All right, take care, guys.
All right, that's Milkman joining us here as we continue 915-505-6009 on the program. 600 ESPN El Paso and Twitter at X and 600 ESPN El Paso on our free app. This is coming in from 915 Sun City Caper, our pal. Trolley, did you get the merch back? Tonight was the perfect time to introduce UTEP men's basketball to the family. No dancing on dad tonight. Pure class. Oh, man, if you know, you know. Good stuff, Adam. I appreciate you. Joe Chacone struggled in the first half. Mom texted dad that was coming over to watch the game with me on the big screen. He gets here and the Miners go on a run and never looked back. Needs some more of his luck. Let's get the next dub on Saturday. Hashtag winners win. Good stuff, Joe. I appreciate you. I appreciate your pops. So good stuff right there, man. 915-505-6009 as we continue here on Miner Talk. We are presented by Jack in the Box as we continue. Guys, I guess we're good. I guess we can start to do some final thoughts around the table. It's going to be Liberty, and it's going to be Saturday. We already gave the awards. It is a big one to Kevin Kalu, who wins a Hot Hand Award from the show. But, George, I'm going to swing it to you first. It's a big matchup. Maybe UTEP's second biggest rival in CUSA. I don't know. You give us your thoughts on that. But Liberty, nonetheless, comes to town Saturday, and it's a big one.
Yeah, it's absolutely UTEP's second biggest rival at this point. The fans, you could tell that they loathe the Miners at this point. The fact that UTEP has had their number the last three games, I think you could see it on the team, the frustration that they have losing to the Miners, especially on that Andrew Bynum game winner, right? That one bites. But I want to get to some stats here.
One, yeah.
So Liberty is the second best team in Conference USA in giving up attempted field goals per game. UTEP is third, right? They're right there. Why that's important is the less shots you allow, right, the less points you're going to score. But they average about five field goal attempts difference on defense, right? So I think this is going to be a defensive grinder. Liberty is also the best defensive team in field goal percentage given up. They only give up 39.8% to their teams. UTEP gives up 43.7% in this six-game stretch. UTEP is averaging giving up around 44.87% field goal percentage to their opposing teams, although it's getting better over the last game. So I think it's going to be a defensive grinder, kind of like what we saw in NMSU. And these buckets are going to be hard to come by. So it's how efficient can you be? And I think Kevin Kalu's game for his first game against Liberty this year, right, is going to loom big. And let's see if we could get him to 9 points again.
Okay, there's the Liberty Flames have won six of their last seven. That's a big stat to kind of monitor going into this one right here. I'll get your thoughts, Sal, and I will also get your thoughts here, Alberto. I appreciate it. We got Tom calling in off air, who let us know that he bought six tickets and he spent $100+. So good stuff, Tom. Tom, we're not going to take you back here on this one, so we appreciate you calling in off air and letting us know that you Tom, who bought six tickets and just spent over $100. Big shout out to Tom, who's one of our loyal listeners here on the program, and told us that he would go out and buy some more tickets to ensure that he's inviting some UTEP fans out to the game. So good stuff there, Tom. Alberto, I guess that's a perfect segue to you. Your thoughts going into the Liberty game, and you alluded to it earlier. You want a big crowd here for this one. You don't want fans to miss this one.
Yeah, I want it to be louder. I think the team can get some good practice in a louder environment. I think that would be great for the team. And I'm going to just touch on something that Sal already touched on, the three-point line. The Miners have to come out ready to defend that three-point line. Let me tell you guys why. Liberty is going to go out there and put up over 20 shots from beyond the three-point arc. Today, they put up 22. They hit six. Against Sam Houston, they put up 28 shots from the three-point line, and nine of those hit. And against Louisiana Tech, they made 12 three-pointers. on 23 attempts. So you don't want them to get hot from the three-point line. It's crucial for the Miners to come out defending, and it would be cool to have more than 5,000 people there cheering them on.
Oh, they should get like 5,500. That should be like the standard right there, anything plus, you know. So it's a big games come Saturday. Fans need to show up, and it should be an excellent matchup here. UTEP taking on Liberty. Sal, we'll finish it off with you. Some final thoughts as the Miners get ready for the Flames. Is this a rivalry to you?
I think so, especially in basketball. I don't know about football. I think it's just...
Oh, the Mariachis wasn't enough in football?
Nah, man, because you got to win a game against the other team for it to be a rivalry.
It's a good point. You
I just
want to
say, exactly, and I just want to say Liberty is undefeated in El Paso. Across the board when it comes to football and basketball or men's basketball. I have to check the women's basketball scores, but in volleyball, women got that one. But nonetheless, all of that being said, this is a team who kind of in that same wheelhouse as UTEP. We talk about the half-game separation between the two, but I'm going to reel off some stats. When it comes to rebounding between the two, averages say that Liberty is the ninth-ranked team and the Miners are the 10th-ranked team. So they're not that far off. And then also, too, when it comes to 3 points attempted, Liberty gets 7 more shots up than the Miners, and they make about 3 more or so from there. These are just averages, though. We know what happened last time the Miners played. But good sign, though, is that the Miners out-rebounding Florida International today. I don't know what that's worth. They're the 8th-ranked team in rebounds for Conference USA. But these last couple of weeks, we've seen them out-rebound their opponents. And if they can do that, that gives them a better edge than they had the last time they played Liberty.
I can't wait, man. It's Liberty UTEP round 2. First time around was really fun. It was a really solid matchup. Let's do it round 2, and it's coming up Saturday. Hey, we'll be out at the District West 32-33 North Mesa ahead of the matchup, but then we will have it for you. Countdown to tip-off 6:30, and then the game itself at 7 o'clock. We'll have it all for you right here, 600 ESPN El Paso with Minor Talk following the broadcast. But that'll do it for us here tonight. Appreciate everybody chiming in, tuning into our show. Wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day tomorrow. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4 o'clock for Sports Talk. But for Sal Montes, for George Guajardo, for Alberto Retta, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We are signing off tonight. Thank you so much for listening to Minor Talk. UTEP defeats Florida International 77-63. We'll be back in action Saturday for another edition of Minor Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box, here on 600 ESPN El Paso.